Boston Pride is no more. Now, that's true for the organization, but what does that mean for the LGBTQ movement? Last Friday, the board of directors of Boston Pride announced it would disband the organization after mounting criticism over its failure to diversify its leadership and better represent the trans community and people of color. We have been covering the controversy around Boston Pride here on Radio Boston for more than a year. In this latest moment of disruption, we want to take a thoughtful look at what that means going forward. So to start, we turn to Arielle Gray, WBUR Arts Engagement Producer, who's been covering this story. Arielle, welcome back.
Hi, Tiziana. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. Thanks for joining us. Looking forward to what you have to say here. Boston Pride announced they were dissolving at the end of last week. Have you been getting reactions and what have you been hearing?
I think there's been quite a mix of reactions from the LGBTQ plus community. There are some people who are satisfied with Boston Pride's position to dissolve, and there are others who are upset at the loss of this 50-year-old organization. The sentiments that have been most interesting to me, though, come from folks who feel as though Boston Pride kind of copped out of taking accountability by dissolving the organization instead of accepting some of these community demands.
So what does Boston Pride say about this decision to dissolve?
Well, in their statement put out on Friday, the board speaks about hearing the concerns of the LGBTQ plus community here in Boston, and they do seem to acknowledge the fact that this boycott has been going on. They stated, and this is pulled pretty much directly from the statement, they stated that it's clear the community needs and wants change without the involvement of Boston Pride, and that they care too much to stand in the way of said changes. The statement was pretty brief, but to the point. So the bottom line is that Boston Pride will not be executing any more programming this year, and that it will take steps to dissolve the organization.
Okay, and I do want to note we reached out to representatives of Boston Pride today, and they declined our invitation to join the show. You've talked about the tensions for Boston Pride. They were facing boycott by many groups, groups like Boston Black Pride, Trans Resistance, demanding that the organization diversify its leadership. Is this dissolution, is there a straight line from that to this moment? Is it a direct response?
Well, Tiziana, it's been quite the roller coaster over the past year since I've been covering this. You know, 80% of Boston Pride's volunteer workforce resigned, and that kind of set everything off. I think part of the answer to your question lies in that statement posted by Boston Pride. So in it, they do seem to acknowledge the boycott and the concerns the community has put forward. And I also think that Linda DeMarco's decision to resign from her position foreshadowed that some big changes were coming within the organization. So it does seem as though this decision was made in direct response to the boycott. The one thing I do want to mention is that from all of the interviews I've done, both with members of boycotting organizations and with Linda DeMarco, dissolving Boston Pride was never really suggested as a preferred option. And instead, what was asked was Boston Pride take accountability and agree to changes, which included installing this more democratic leadership structure. So it seems as though instead of instituting these changes, Boston Pride has dissolved.
So Boston Pride organized the annual Pride Parade. It was postponed. There's a 50th year postponement. Well, that sounds wrong. The 50th year celebration was postponed. It was on the docket for last year and now was supposed to happen this year. Do you expect other organizations will try to step in and plan it or plan something else? What do you think is going to happen?
I think part of what's so interesting about this whole situation is that so many of these organizations who boycotted have already been executing their own Pride Month events, some for years now. And in fact, some of these organizations are led by former Boston Pride volunteers who organized Boston Pride's programming. So just a few weeks ago, many of these organizations came together, led by Trans Resistance, and they put on the second annual Trans Resistance March and Vigil. And so the first one last year saw thousands of people turn out and were in attendance. So we also saw these organizations convince Boston mayoral candidates to not attend Boston Pride's scheduled debate and instead attend their own, and that happened. So it seems like this has already been something that's been in the works. A lot of these organizations have been forced to develop their own ways of connecting with the community. I've heard some discussion of forming a Pride coalition, That will have a more democratic, equitable leadership structure. And I've also heard talk about creating another Boston Pride, but I think only time will tell what happens.
All right, Ariel Gray, WBUR Arts Engagement Producer, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So let's turn now to two more voices on what this means, what happens going forward. Gary Daffin is the executive director of the Multicultural Aid Coalition and the co-chair of the Massachusetts Gay and Lesbian Political Caucus. And Julia Golden is the interim president of Trans Resistance MA. Julia, Gary, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
So Gary, I'll start with you. Just your reaction when you heard the news on Friday.
Well, I was disappointed, like the people who had been asking them to open up the organization. I think it doesn't make a lot of sense for them to just decide to shut down Pride, because the message that is going out into the community is that Pride has been dissolved. And I heard that last night, just sitting at an Irish bar, a heterosexual woman said, "What's up with Pride? This Pride is no more, it's gone." And so I think one problem is the message. The other thing is that, you know, Pride is belongs to the entire community. And so this is a group of people who are supposed to steward the organization and steward the celebration. They failed at leadership in this particular instance. They may have done good things in the past, but I think it's incumbent upon them to figure out how to pass along the organization to a new iteration of folks who could take it into the next stage. So I'm disappointed, and I think we should figure out how not to dissolve Pride and to make sure that the assets of the organization remain and can be used for future events.
And Julia, as I turn to you, I'm just going to say again that we reached out to representatives of Boston Pride today and they declined to join us on the show. What does this decision to dissolve communicate to you?
Absolutely. Well, what we know about Boston Pride is that not only could we have questions around donations and where that money is, but it's also about understanding all the followers that they've had over the years. Part of what is frustrating is to know for Trans Resistance, a group that went ahead and reached out to Boston Pride as along with other nonprofits, is Boston Pride rather dissolve than allow access to assets such as a listserv, such as giving us access to understanding how they even historically created Pride. There's a lot of historical knowledge that is now lost. And I think that that's very unfair to our community. Boston Pride in itself should be for the people. And when we look at the history of Prides, they were only made possible because of trans and queer people of color. And so I think for Trans Resistance moving forward, it's knowing that, we have some hard questions to ask, but I think what we also know is that we are excited for what can be, turning this unfortunate moment into potentially a really historic one for Boston, where potentially we see a Pride that's much more inclusive. And I will say one of the comments that I really appreciated hearing from our audience and one of our surveys after Trans Resistance had their march and vigil is we had someone who self-identified as Black, queer, and of different abilities. And they said, "This is the first time I felt welcomed and invited to such an event that has to do with Pride." And so to me, the message is when we center marginalized voices, everyone can benefit. So I think that there's a lot of excitement as we move forward to consider how do we include all.
Gary, do you share in that excitement?
Yes, I do. I think it's actually, despite what's happening, it's a golden opportunity for us to take a look at what does this community need now? What should Pride be? But more important to me is I think it's an opportunity for us to have discussions in this community about race, because that's why we're at this point. What got us here was a response to the Black Lives Matter movement and what was happening last summer that was insufficient to say the least. But I think we have to remember that the LGBTQ community is as diverse as America is itself, which means there are all kinds of opinions. We can't assume that everyone understands why people were asking to have more representation or why to have more involvement in Pride. And when you look at the responses to the Globe article that was written or to Facebook postings, what you see are people using language that's similar to the way that conservatives are using language about liberal and progressive politicians. They're saying, you know, these woke people, you people, ruined Pride or brought Pride down. I hope you're happy. It's just a circular firing squad. So I think, you know, we have some difficult conversations to have with within our community so that people can understand why it is that Black and Brown people want to make sure that there's a place for us in institutions like Pride and other institutions as well. And that we should go ahead.
No. Finish that sentence and then I'll pick up.
No, I was just going to say, I think it's not just Boston Pride. I think we need to have these conversations in all the institutions within the LGBTQ communities. And many, I know, are in fact trying to do that. But we need to make sure that our colleagues and the major institutions in the community are leading that discussion and are taking the risk to bring that discussion out into their communities as well.
So again, we're talking about a single nonprofit organization called Boston Pride that had responsibility for the Pride Parade, and all of that is separate from the larger Pride movement. Gary, you made that circular firing squad reference. Julia, I do want to turn back to you. You're the interim president of Trans Resistance MA. There is criticism that the baby got thrown out with the bathwater here, and that's partly the responsibility of organizations that were seeking to hold the Boston Pride organization accountable. What do you say to that criticism that this was too far, and now the organization, the parade, the 50th celebration, gone as a result of that?
Right. I think it's about groups taking accountability for their actions. You know, we didn't ask for Boston Pride to dissolve. In fact, we tried to hold many meetings where we could talk about a transition of, you know, power and understanding how could we best communicate with our communities, all of our communities. So I understand people's disappointments. I understand that we're going to be facing backlash, but that actually to me is the full problem, is that you had a board of people who are who rather again say we're going to dissolve than work with trans queer people of color. And I think for Trans Resistance, what we want to do is work with a variety of groups and host a conversation. You know, for us, the biggest goal, we have two goals, is one, to have conversations with the head of groups who have been doing this work. As mentioned earlier, there are people who've been holding their own forms of Pride for a number of years. And we're looking to hold a meeting for those individuals who have been leading efforts such as those. But the second part of this is we also want to create a listening tour for all community members. We recognize that that there is a lot at stake here for our communities, but I think to me, what is Pride without the people? We have to center people's voices, all people's voices. So I hope that, you know, the city of Boston is willing to, you know, speak up. And I think I understand that means that we have to really sit down and listen. And I think we're ready for that.
So Gary, Julia just talked about conversations, people coming to the table, a listening tour. Who are some of the groups specifically who need to have voices in that?
Well, again, I think that, you know, we are such a diverse community. We can start with some of the organizations that are most well-known and have infrastructure and can support that happening, whether those are healthcare centers or, you know, legal organizations, political organizations, pretty much anyone. We've also got to remember that there's, you know, there are other smaller organizations that don't have that infrastructure and don't have those resources. And we have to make sure that we are talking to small groups that are organized by Latinas or by Black gay men or by trans folks. We really need to figure out how to do outreach in a broad way and create, this needs to be a conversation that's not just once or twice, but there's an intentional way of having conversations between communities that do center Black and Brown folks in this case, because again, I do think this is more about race than we are acknowledging. And so there's no list of groups. It's really everyone, but we need to make sure that we do, in fact, have grassroots, small organizations, whether it's the elders of color, all kinds of folks. So I think that's something that we can do. It needs to be funded and it needs to be structured. And I think the organizations that are starting to think about that, many of us can help do that as well.
Julia, listening to you and Gary, I think about that old adage about the relationship between crisis and opportunity. I also think about how destabilizing change like this can be in the short term. And I think about the young LGBTQ listener who sees what has gone away now in the Boston Pride organization choosing to dissolve and some of the traditional Pride movement activities in the city being called into question. And being afraid about what that means, about what's going to be there to be a part of 2 years from now, 4 years from now, 5 years from now. What is the vision and what needs to come into being in this next phase in the life of the movement?
I think that for many of our youth, in some ways, they inspire me each and every day. You know, I work with a lot of college age adults who just have such big ideas of what Pride could be. And I think it goes to one fact is one thing I know and one thing I've needed in my life is representation. What we know is representation matters. And I think it's important that, again, and I think just as Gary mentioned, whatever happens next, there has to be representation from all different types of organizations and walks of life. That is needed. And I'm not going to sit here and say that's easy, right? I think change is hard and can be really scary. But I think in fear, you're right, there's an opportunity that potentially we can come up with some great ideas that maybe it's a parade, but maybe it's more than that. Maybe it's something that happens full year around. You know, I think the opportunity here is limitless right now, which really just goes back to, you know, how do we then organize? And so I'm looking forward to folks coming through and helping to create some organizational efforts that allow for all types of folks to come through, but understand that, you know, it is our duty to make sure that representation continues in the city of Boston for our LGBTQ community.
All right. That is Julia Golden. Oh, no, go ahead, Gary.
Just what this reminds me of is, you know, back in the South, when integrating public pools was required, people decided to pour cement in the pools and prevent anybody from swimming just so they didn't have to have Black people swim with white people. And to me, this is not exactly the same thing, but it's sort of let's burn down the building so that nobody can use it. And I say the concrete has not been poured yet. And so let's figure out how to keep the institution that exists, keep the infrastructure, keep the resources, and let's move the people who are there now, move them along. I'm sure they can contribute in other ways to other things and have other people come in and figure out how to use these resources now. So I don't think that we should just sit by and allow this to happen.
Very glad you got that in. That's Gary Daffan, Executive Director of the Multicultural Aid Coalition and the co-chair of the Massachusetts Gay and Lesbian Political Caucus. Also Julia Golden, who is the interim president of Trans Resistance MA. Thanks to both of you.